Alors, on dirait que c'est ça. I know when I got married, my mother-in-law says, "Dear," says, "now sawmill's no place to raise a family." Says, "You come on up here and go to family farming." He had all seven of his chaps. They's all living at the time, and they's all living there on his place. Mm. As they marry, they's all married, but my wife and her youngest brother, and as they marry, well, they'd build him a little house and he'd give him the land. Mm. That is, give him land to work. Mm. And he still owned the land at his death.
You decided the sawmill was a better place, huh?
Well, that's all I knowed was sawmill, and that's I didn't pay him any mind.
What kind of house did you live in when you first set up housekeeping?
Well, we lived with our mother.
At the beanery?
No, she'd moved down there. The company, they offered it to sell me the place for $3,200, I believe. I offered them $25,000, and old man Anthony said that he'd have to see little Arthur. He come back and said, little Arthur said, all right. Well, I got to figuring it cost $1,000 to tear the old house down. And the lumber is built in there. The studs, some of them was 4 foot apart. And I come back and told him I'd give him $1,000 for the lot. He said, well, I'll have to see little Arthur. So he went and seen little Arthur, and little Arthur said, all right, take $1,000. So I gave him $1,000. At that time, I had my youngest brother was, he was living in the old house. They cut it in two and made two houses. I know where the two houses is now. One of them they moved down here, kind of behind the new doctor's office clinic. And the other one's over there, and it's on that first street there behind the... they made two houses. Anthony told me later that the company come out pretty good on the deal.
So this was on Ballinger Street that you and your wife...
It wasn't no street at all. It wasn't incorporated at the time.
Okay.
There wasn't no streets or anything.
Okay, but it was a company house over there?
The company owned everything. Everything was under fence. The company would build you a chicken house and a cow pen, but they wouldn't build you a car house.
Oh.
They'd loan you money to buy these things, but they wouldn't loan you money to buy a car.
Oh, really?
And
they'd loan you money for chickens and for cows?
Cows. And build you a garden. They kept fences and everything. Company owned everything. Mm-hmm. There used to be a sawmill here. W.T. Carter owned a sawmill here when we moved to Diboll.
Hmm.
And the Baptists, when the weather got warm enough, they come down here, baptized down here in the Emporia Pond.
Hmm. That's right old behind this nursing home.
Temple owned.
Oh, there's a pond out there?
Mm-hmm. Still there?
Oh. Do you remember Emporia? Was it still a tram?
I remember when they run, yeah. I've been on the old Emporia tram, Carter. I thought he cut out and he moved to Mayo Town. Cut out there and he moved to Manning and Camden.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they just moved their mill when all the lumber was gone? When all the trees
I think Carter's out of the sawmill business.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when Carter used to live down here, where I was in Henry Temple's office one morning, and Clyde Thompson come in there. I might have told you about it before, but he said Con lived in the old house. I thought Con was getting a lot of accommodations out of the company. He says, we're going to have to do something about a fellow Anthony. suing the company. He claimed he got hurt out there. I don't know. He said he went in hard muscle white now. Says we're going to have to do something about him. Says Con told me. Con was just taking the fellow's money and doing nothing either. The company got busy and they settled off with Anthony. Anthony that was over these houses is a different set of Anthony's.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anthony married into the
Temple family.
He married into the he didn't marry Temple. He married him and Durham married sisters. You remember E.C. Durham? It used to be over at TSC. He married a sister to them. She died down here where, in the house just below where Poland.
Where Vernon bought.
Vernon, yeah.
That was Mr. Anthony's house because they got some of his furniture. You know, they bought the house and they got part of his.
I got out sweet gum lumber to make a dressing table in there, in that bathroom for old man Anthony.
Mr. Ballinger, how many children did you and your wife have?
We had four girls and one boy. The boy was in the middle. And I had a wife died. You said you knowed when she died, the 24th of January. And I had a daughter that she married and was working in Oklahoma City. But she died in Houston Hospital. We found her was diabetic. And when she's 11 years old, she's just about dead. The doctors didn't know much about it. And we didn't know anything at all, and I finally taken her, kept her 3 weeks down to Houston to a specialist down there. I had a daughter living down there.
Mm-hmm.
I have a daughter living in Houston now. She's 62. She's retired, and I have one living. They pay Houston tax. They live on the lake down there, Houston.
Lake Jackson, is that what it is?
I don't know. Lake Houston ain't the name.
Yeah.
They live 11 miles from Humble.
Yeah.
They get the mail at a little place across the and. You can see that place when you cross the bridge. You know just where to look. They got them a nice little place down there. It paid for. He pays for everything cash. He never did work for nobody but the Hughes Tool. He retired with them. And my daughter that's dead, her husband, in his 50s, crowding 60s, I guess. And she is next to the youngest child. And he hadn't worked none since he carried her to Houston. He finally got his oil company to move him, transfer him to Humble Oil Company down at Houston. But they gave him a little job there in the office. And He hadn't worked, so he's retired. He's on a pension now.
Mm-hmm.
I think I don't know where he's at, over in Louisiana. He sent me a shirt for Father's Day.
Mm, that was nice.
And
where do your other children live? Where does your son live?
My son lives at Granbury. Lives on the lake there. He's retired. He's not 60 years old. He's got a Basket Robin ice cream store in Fort Worth. He run that. And he had a son, and his wife was teaching school in Austin at the time, and they quit their jobs. He's teaching school, and she was too. They got three boys, all, and he's got a son-in-law, and it's a Christian preacher. He's in Tennessee right now. He made a doctor out of himself. He preached in Oklahoma City. They made a doctor, and one of the professors, one of his teachers, wanted him to put in his application up there in Tennessee at his hometown. But he's to move to Houston next month, I believe. The church down there paid for him and his wife and boy and girl, his two children. They paid plane fare for him to come to Houston. He got the job down there. So he's to move down there first of July.
Is Lester Ruth, now is that your youngest daughter's son?
No.
Lester.
Lester, yeah, she's the only one of the chaps that I ever whipped.
Oh. Why'd you do that?
Well, I don't never remember my mother whipping me, and I always did. I worked a term of paydays over to my mother, and I married on the 20th of the month, and they paid off then twice a month, and I give my payday the 15th. I turned it over to my mother. She gave me some of the money back. She kept part of it. I had $700-$800 in the bank, I guess, when I married. But if she hadn't been strict on me, I guess I'd have spent the money and it'd have been gone. We were sitting on the porch out there where Dean's is, across the street from where my mother lived, and chap, I don't know where the oldest chap was. The other four had gone somewhere, show or somewhere. And she was yelling, cutting up, wanting us to do something. And I told her she didn't shut up. Well, I was going to get me a switch and whip her. I was going to run a bluff on her. And she met me at the door when I come in with a switch and told me I didn't know who I was fooling with. Going to take the switch away from me, but I had to tan her little legs. I didn't whip her. She said, well, boy, he was in the middle. There's two girls and a boy.
So he had five altogether.
He peddled a Beaumont Enterprise here. He worked for Rhett Johnson, his brother. They had the Houston Post and Chronicle here at that time. They paid him so much a month to deliver papers. They both delivered, Rhett and his brother both,
Aiden.
They both delivered papers, and saved his money and bought him a bicycle, and he bought him a girl bicycle so his sisters could ride it too. And I remember Glenn Hines come over there, and he'd have Glenn to tote in a load of wood and ride around the house. Him and Glenn would fight, and they'd play together. I learned one thing, since I've been married, and that's never accuse somebody of something you don't know. I accused an old colored woman of doing our washing. I was getting $2 bills, two $1 bills out of my pocket. She come in and get the dirty clothes, sore clothes, and wash them. Mm-hmm. And I come in at dinner and I ask my wife if she got the money out of my pocket. She'd sent them, the trousers, to the lot, to the present shop. Mm-hmm. Said, no, I didn't feel anything. So I just knowed that the old colored woman had went through my, she'd come in and get the clothes, you know, and take them out and wash them. I went through the pockets and got the $2 bills. So I went over to the present shop and asked them if they had found any money in my trousers. They said no, but they'd go back there and see they was hanging on the lines wet. And they went back and they brought me back $2, $2, $1 bills wet.
No.
I'd accuse the old nigger woman. Well, when we lived there beside of Rat Johnson, we had the same old nigger woman having my wife clean house. And I'd give my boy a dime bank, and every time I got a dime, I'd give it to him. And I told him not to be playing with the bank, leave it put up. Oh, he hadn't. Well, I got a dime and wanted to put it in the bank and couldn't find the dime bank. I just know that old same nigger woman that had the run of the house had went through there and got the bank. But George Stovall, wife, there's an old lady died down here, and she's going to the funeral, and she found the bank. George was working at the handle factory, the box factory over across the pond at the time. I went over there and told him, I told him that I satisfied the old nigger woman, got the, but he told me to come to the house. I don't know how much there was in the bank, there wasn't but my little. I told him, I think of 20 cents what I thought was in there. I told him I didn't know how much was in the bank, but he says, you come to the house tonight, and after work time, says, I think we got you the bank. That's how come he accused that. That taught me a lesson not to accuse somebody of something I didn't know.
What would y'all do at night? Ma'am? Would everybody visit back and forth at night? Talk to each other outside at night after work was done? Or would y'all pretty well stay at home? And
well, my mother always knowed where I was at till I went to work at night. And she always knowed where I was at. And sometimes I'd slip off and come down here and go in swimming in them poor pond down here where they, it looked like about where this here Maryland street crosses the pond. That used to be all underwater.
It was our swimming hole. I remember. I used to swim there when I was a girl.
The Baptists come down here on the banks of the Baptist. And baptize.
They baptize
my father, he belonged to the Baptist church, and my mother belonged to the Methodist church. Like, say that she was a Ron's. She moved to this country when she was 4 years old.
To this country? Where was she from?
She was from Mississippi. Mm. My wife's folks were from Alabama. They moved from Alabama to, went out to California in a gold rush. Mm. And stayed out there a year, I think, and moved back. Mm. They had the, I never did, I met some of them, but not too many of them. Knights used to live. Uncle Dick Knight, he was our wedding, him and his wife. Mm-hmm. They lived out there across. He sold the Lufkin land, the land to build a mill on up there. And he had a brother that lived out here, at Huntington. I never did meet them.
Mm-hmm. Did the church ever have any special events that you can think about?
Who was that?
The church, the Methodist church here.
Well, I went to Sunday school. I remember when they built the one that they tore down and built the one there now. This here's the Third Methodist Church since I've been a member.
What did the first one look like? Do you remember what the first one looked like?
Oh, the first one was just a big old two-story building. The KPs and Oddfellows and Woodmans met in the...
Oh, okay.
And the Baptists and Methodists met downstairs. There wasn't but two churches at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And they formed Coastown up here. It's all Dieball now, but they formed... And the Baptists bought them a lot up there and built where the congregation of the Methodists.
Oh, yeah.
They built there, and there used to be a bunch of woods between here and there.
Mm-hmm.
But
what did the Methodists went and built a church. What did theirs look like?
I'm hard of hearing. You have to talk like you're mad and kind of loud.
The Second Methodist Church, what did it look like?
Oh, well, I think I got a picture of it down there in the book. See if that ain't a book down there. Lon Smith, Clyde Thompson. I was on the board when they built this here new church. And we met up at Lee Estes's one night and decided to bring it to a vote at church. And Smith and myself, Clyde Thompson, he had business away from town. He's going to make a speech about building a new church, and Pete, he was against it. But it used to be Sawfowler here.
Bob.
Who?
Bob or Barley?
Barley. Barley's, he pointed Pete to make a speech for it, and Pete told me afterwards that he had to make a speech for it and vote against it. So they voted for a new church, and it's a good thing they did.
That's the one that's standing now?
How's that?
It's the one that's standing right now?
Yeah, the one that's standing now.
Okay.
There used to be a drilling house between the parsonage and in the church, and I understand it. Barley and Bob bought the place and give it to the church. It's all of it. I remember when them con trees were set out there. Old Brother McCain set them out.
Mm.
Old Dr. McCain, anyway.
Yeah, I'm about out of tape.